It was all a dream, Rami.
Yes, it was. Did you used to read Word Up magazine?
No, not really.
Salt and Pepper and Heavy D?
Yeah, I used to listen to them.
Up in the limousine?
Yeah. No limos. I was poor.
Every Saturday, Rap Attack?
No.
Molly Mall?
Sometimes.
All right.
He's all right. Nothing.
I don't want to take this too far.
Nothing.
I can do the whole song if you really want me to.
It's all good, baby. All right. You know what's not all good? The Kings right now. Last night was a rough one. Really rough to watch. That was the worst loss of the season. We all know the particulars, who wasn't playing for New Orleans, the fact that it was the second night of a back-to-back for the Pelicans, which the Kings are now 2-8 against teams on the second night of a back-to-back, which is absolutely brutal. And speaking of absolutely brutal, Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray last night, Rami. Here are the stats combined between those two gentlemen. They shot 4 of 15 from the floor. They shot 2 of 13 from 3. They finished with a combined 12 points. Most of that was Kevin Huerter. Frankie Cardicelli, our friend at SacktownSports.com, tweeted out, Huerter and Keegan over the past five games. Huerter is averaging 9 points a game. He is shooting 37% from the floor. He is shooting 20% from three. Keegan Murray is averaging 5.6 points a game. Is shooting 24% from the floor, and he is also shooting 20% from three. So Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, past five games, they're shooting 20% from three collectively, averaging about 7 points a game. And from the field, trying to do some quick math here, that's 61, about 30% from the field combined. Woeful.
That's brutal, man. That is absolutely brutal. And you're not going to get back, I don't care, getting Deer and Fox back or not, you're not going to get back to winning games consistently and convincingly until those two guys get on track. And we talked about Kevin Huerter in the first hour of the show, Nick, and I don't want to say cause for concern, but you need him to be better. Like I'm saying, you need him to be better for you to be the best version of the Kings that you can be. But more concerning to me is Keegan Murray, man, and for a couple of reasons. One is I think his struggles earlier in the year, and Mike Brown touched on this, and his teammates touched on this. Part of it was just he sort of lost some of his confidence and forgot what he was capable of doing on some level, even against grown men in the NBA. And it took them to build Keegan Murray back up and keep telling him, hey, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Keep doing what you're doing. And I think that confidence is something that is not necessarily set in stone yet for Keegan Murray. And stretches like this can sort of set him back. And we might be looking at a step back for Keegan Murray after a couple of big steps forward with back-to-back rookies of the month. Last night, I thought I heard Katie Christensen say he had not had a field goal attempt well into the third quarter. Like, he just stopped shooting.
He was put into the game in the fourth quarter, he and Huerter, right?
Yes.
And I heard Deuce and Moe talking about this earlier today, and I completely agree with them. That's Coach Brown saying, you got to get going. The only reason to play those two cats in the fourth quarter of a 30-point game
is to snap out of
it. Is to say, go out there and shoot.
Yeah.
Get yourself out of this. And Keegan would not even shoot in the fourth quarter last night.
Nick, he's
down by 30.
He's had double digits once in the last five games. His last three games, he's had 2 3 and 2 points. Two of his last three games, he didn't hit a three-pointer. And last night, I'm not saying he just stopped trying, like effort-wise, but he stopped trying to be an offensive force on any level. And you can't have that guy curling up into his shell and not wanting to be a part of the offensive attack. You just can't have that. And I think that goes back to the confidence thing when we talk about Keegan Murray. The other part of it is I just think, well, first of all, Kevin Huerter is a veteran. And I don't think Kevin Huerter is really shaken by this. And I think he'll just keep on shooting his way out of it when I don't necessarily know that to be the case with Keegan Murray. But also, I just think Keegan Murray is that much more important to the Kings and them continually getting better throughout this season and making their case that much stronger in the Western Conference, because I've talked about the fact that I think the Kings will be the optimal version of themselves when Keegan Murray has ascended to the number three option on this team.
Right.
And he leapfrogged Kevin Herter early in the season. Harrison Barnes has sort of been that number three option. Now Keegan Murray seems to be taking a step back from making that leap to being the number three option with this little setback that he's had here in the last week or so.
You expect ebbs and flows for rookies, right? But, man, the Keegan dramatic swings have been something to witness. Like, he has literally, when you look back, starting in November, he has, like, literally been one of the hottest guys on the floor or almost completely invisible. There's been almost no in-between with him offensively. He's either shooting 50% from three or he can't throw it in the ocean. And that's fascinating. I don't know the reason for it, but it's certainly fascinating. I'm more concerned by Kevin Herter. And look, I was at the front of the line. I'm a big Herter fan. I am. And I think Kevin Herter is a good basketball player. And I'll stand by that. But the way this team is constructed, the reason why Kevin concerns me is, aside from shooting, what does he bring to this team? What does he do? He is not playing well at all defensively. He has been a freaking turnstile. Just listen to Coach Brown last night talk about this team's defense.
Defensively, we can't contain the dribble. Right now, we're getting beat off the dribble. We gave up 40 points in the first half. Because guys were getting biased, getting to the rim and finishing in the paint. They didn't have a post-up player on their team. Every single point came from a transition or just beating us off the dribble. And somehow, some way, we got to figure out how we're going to be able to contain the dribble. We got to do a better job of containing the dribble, because we're not going to survive again giving up 40 points in the paint and all of it being somebody off the dribble, as opposed to having a old school Tim Duncan throwing in type player. That is my biggest concern right now defensively, is who can I put on the floor that can contain the dribble? Shots aren't going to always fall. I'm okay with that. But if your shot's not falling, what else are you bringing to the table?
I think that's a direct shot at Kevin Herter. And I think some of the stray could be for Keegan. If you watched last night, I know you did at least the first half, Rami, and then, you know, it was background noise for most of us in the second half.
I listened to the second half.
I'll tell you what New Orleans did last night. They hunted Kevin Herter. In that first half, go back, they hunted him. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, we got to get Kevin on our dude. Whoever that dude was, we need Herter defending that guy, because we're going to take him to the bucket. Over and over and over and over again. At least Keegan's, you know, grabbing some rebounds. At least he's been on the glass a little bit. But
only four of those last night, though. That's what I'm saying, is he has completely shrunken into his shell.
I don't think Kevin had a single rebound.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at Herter. Last night, zero rebounds, zero assists, one steal, and he played atrocious defense.
That's a rough line.
He has to engage defensively. He has to embrace at least trying to stay in front of his man. I'm concerned. Like, you mentioned, hey, look, Kevin Herter, he's a veteran, right? He'll figure it out. I look at it the other way. Kevin Herter's been in the NBA now 5 years. I can believe that Keegan's going to develop into something better. I can believe that Keegan is understanding and realizing that he has to be better defensively. I feel like he will get there as he develops. I can at least excuse some of the stuff with Keegan, some of it, because he's young. He's a rookie. Herter, man, there's no reason to not stay in front of your guy. There's no, like, he's not defending. He's not playmaking. He's not rebounding consistently. What does he do on the floor? If he's not making shots, he gives you 25 minutes of almost nothing last night.
All I meant when I said that Kevin Herter will figure it out is on the offensive side of things. When they got Kevin Herter, we knew he was a weak link defensively, and he wasn't going to do much other than score the basketball for you. And quite frankly, he's done that in more ways than maybe you thought he could this season, and not just a spot-up catch-and-shoot type of guy. He's done much more of that. What I was saying was, I know Kevin Herter will keep on putting up the shots and shoot his way out of this.
Yeah, and that's a logical argument.
Where with Keegan Murray, I think he stops taking shots when they're not falling and loses confidence.
Right, but my thought is, a lot of that has to do with him being a rookie. And he'll figure it out. He'll gain confidence after playing in the league for some time. And you don't necessarily have that with Kevin, right? Herter is Kevin Herter.
And I know he did it with both of them last night, but I think that was part of why he put Keegan Murray out there in the fourth quarter when they were down by 30. He was saying to him, hey, you're not going to get out of this just by getting it. You got to play your way and shoot your way out of this thing.
And then Keegan went out and didn't shoot.
And didn't shoot.
I mean, it's the issue is, and there's been a spotlight on this because of De'Aaron being out, right? And he's supposed to be back tonight. The lack of playmaking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Malik Monk is your top playmaker on this team, aside from Domas. Domas is naturally limited because of how big he is and the position he plays. He's not going to be breaking dudes off the dribble. You don't necessarily have, if you look at this team, you don't necessarily have guys who can be like, I'm going to break my man down, and I'm either going to get a bucket or find a friend. Domas is not going to break anybody down, right? He's going to run the offense, and he's great at what he does. He's a big man. He's an old-school big man. He's not dribbling between his legs. He's not going to draw doubles by dribbling into the double and then kicking it. Like, that stuff he's not necessarily going to do. Kevin Herter is not a playmaker. He has not shown that gene. Keegan is not an ISO playmaker, kind of give me the ball and get out of my way kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I would say HB is not necessarily that kind of guy. So when you start to look at this team, you know, trying to find somebody, you know, adding a third person that can, you know, playmake and create for themselves, I think is starting to become a necessity when you look at this team. Because if you're not using Davion in that role, so you need somebody else out there with Fox who can put it on the deck a little bit and maybe create for some others. And that, like, this ship is all the engine of D. Fox and Domas, which to a point is fine. But, you know, Chris Watkins and I talked about this a little bit. Watching the Celtics last year and watching the growth of Tatum and Brown. Tatum and Brown, as playmakers, they needed a few years to figure it out. And even last year, they were struggling. What did Brad Stevens do in the offseason? He had Derek White. He had Marcus Smart. He still went out and got Malcolm Brogdon. In the NBA right now, you need playmakers. Mm-hmm. You need guys who can create off the dribble. And so that's one area that I think they either need drastic improvement from some guys on the current roster, or they got to figure it out and go find somebody who can do some of that for them.
Trade deadline's coming up, too.
Happens to be on Thursday. Mm. So we'll see if they do anything. I do expect them to do something. Your thoughts on the Kings. Which player concerns you more, Herter or Keegan? 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Swing by and give us a like. How does the Kyrie trade impact the West, especially the Kings? It's coming up in 90 seconds.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Well, it's official, Rami. We talked about it last hour. Kyrie Irving to Dallas.
It is officially official?
Yeah, there were some reports. Jake Fisher, I read the report. Last hour, and Adrian Wojnarowski also jumped in there saying that, hey, wait a minute, this deal is not finalized yet. The Nets are trying to expand the trade, but it is official. Shams Charania says Irving to the Mavericks, it's done, and it's the deal that we knew what it was. Dinwiddie, Finney-Smith, the 2029 first-round pick, and two second-round picks in 27 and 29 to the Nets. And Markieff Morris also in this trade. Poor Markieff ain't getting any love. Nobody's talking about him. He's like, hey, what about me?
It's kind of sucked to be that guy in the trade.
Like, he wasn't even mentioned. It's like, oh.
Also, what if Markieff and his family were perfectly happy being in Brooklyn? And now he's got to go to Dallas just because Kyrie requested a trade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, sucks.
I got to go to Dallas?
I don't want to go to Dallas. What,
like, come on. Nobody wants to help me out? I get stuck in this thing because Kyrie, who implodes every team he's on, decides just to do another Kyrie.
Kyrie, man.
So Kyrie's in Dallas. Some of the other offers that I read about, Rami, the Clippers offered Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, some picks. The Lakers offered Russell Westbrook some picks. Here is Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports and TNT talking about the Kyrie trade negotiations and how everything came together.
Over the last few days, the best offers, they came coming in. There were a handful of
very serious teams, the Dallas Mavericks, the Lakers, the Phoenix Suns, and ultimately the Dallas Mavericks. And the reason why the Mavericks were chosen, because obviously picks were important. They got the first-round pick and those two second-round picks, but they also wanted to bring in players who can help right now and keep the team afloat, because they still have championship aspirations. They feel like they still have a team that's capable of making a deep run. And what I can tell everybody as far as what other packages were out there, if you take the Lakers, they did, sources told me, they did include both of their first-round picks, I believe it's 27 and 29. They did include that in the package to get Kyrie. Nets turned that down. And the Phoenix Suns, and this may surprise folks, sources have told me that they proposed a package based around Chris Paul and Jay Crowder and some unspecified picks for Kyrie Irving. And at the end of the day, the Nets felt like the Mavericks had the best package because, again, it was important to try to keep the team afloat with KD's arrival coming in the next couple of weeks.
Nets were offered Rhett Westbrook and a couple picks. They were like, hard pass on Westbrook.
What do you mean by choosing between them?
Yeah, not gonna put Westbrook alongside KD
right now.
Thanks, but no thanks.
We're good.
First, before we get to the Lakers, because I know we want to tap dance on the Lakers' tombstone over this, but let's first look at it from the Kings' point of view. What's the trade of Kyrie to the Mavericks do to the Kings and their playoff hopes, and does it impact them in any way?
I'm not scared of the Mavericks. I wasn't too scared of the Mavericks before this, and I'm still not scared of the Mavericks. If anything, I'm less scared of the Mavericks now. I think they're less scary to the Western Conference than they were before the Kyrie Irving trade, because at least before the Kyrie Irving trade, you knew what to expect from them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We go right, and this has been the case in every stop Kyrie has made and every superstar pairing he's been a part of. It's the what if game, right? It's what if he can stay healthy? What if he can stay on the court? What if there are no controversies? There's no doubt about the quality of basketball player that Kyrie Irving is. And Kyrie and Luka, even though we talked about Nick, it's not a great fit. Just the sheer amount of talent between those two guys on a basketball court is good enough to make most teams a contender when they can consistently be out there. The question is, can they consistently be out there? And also, they're a worse defensive team than they were before this trade. They gave up their best wing defender for a defense that was already ranked 24th in the league. And Kyrie,
defense is trash.
And Kyrie has no interest in playing any defense. I'm happy today that Kyrie Irving has been traded to the Dallas Mavericks if I'm the Kings or anybody else with playoff aspirations in the West.
I remind you all, guests come to you from Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda one-stop Honda shop. He's Rami, I'm Cattles. And I agree with you, Rami, when I look at this trade. I think this is good news for the Kings because, first of all, you kept Kyrie from the Clippers. And the Clippers, to me, are formidable with Kyrie, Paul, yep, George, and Kawhi. If the wings can stay healthy. But that team is long, it's deep. Putting Kyrie with Paul George and Kawhi is a problem. So you kept them from the Clippers. I'm not too worried about Dallas, like you said. When you look at Phoenix is another team. You know, you're replacing Chris Paul with Kyrie. How much of a move is that? You know, does it really move the needle for you? I don't know. You could... You know, they're two different kinds of guards. You know, CP3 is obviously more, you know, of a facilitator, a little bit of a defender, not as much as he gets older. But, you know, he's a different kind of guy. Kyrie is that, you know, ISO shot creator. So they're different kinds of point guards. But to me, the best news, and I said this on Friday, I was petrified. Of not because they would win a championship. I was petrified that Kyrie would get his way and end up being on the Lakers.
Do you think there was any pettiness in this deal?
Making
sure Kyrie didn't end up with the Lakers if you're the Nets?
I love every bit of it. Be petty. Be petty.
You know, I love pettiness.
You know, the Lakers thought Kyrie was going to be their savior. They were hoping. And they offered Westbrook and those two picks, and the Nets shot it down, said thanks, but no thanks. So, no, Kyrie is not going to be your savior. And wouldn't you know, Rami, within 24 hours, LeBron was on ESPN. He was on ESPN. Here's what he had to say about the Kyrie trade.
Well, definitely disappointed. I can't sit here and say I'm not disappointed on not being able to land such a talent, but someone that I had great chemistry with and know I got great chemistry with on the floor that can help you win, you know, championships in my eyes. But my focus has shifted now. My focus has shifted back to where it should be. And that's this club now and what we have in the locker room.
That's a quick pivot, LeBron.
It's a quick pivot. Quick pivot. It don't take me long. I don't get too excited about the possibilities of things that can be. I kind of envision myself on what it can, but I don't invest it all the way until I know it's happening.
He just could not wait to get on ESPN to address this. He was salivating.
But he's already over it. He's already over his back to basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. Everything's fine.
I sought out a reporter to cry to it about, but I'm good. I'm going to get back in that locker room, and I'm just going to lead my guys out there onto the court. Everything's fine. My favorite is the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know what, dude? It is. It is you. Not in the way that you think, not in the way that you're insinuating. It's you that created this situation that you now sit in and wallow in. Dude, LeBron is the second best basketball player I've ever seen. Great dude off the court, great dad. This is hard to watch this year, the way he's reacting to this situation, and it's not a good look for him.
He was hoping that Kyrie, his guy, was going to be the savior. Kyrie ain't walking through that door.
Think about that.
At least not yet.
You're banking your hopes on Kyrie. Can people stop banking their hopes on Kyrie Irving?
Desperation. Thanks to JJ Simone. Great job from you two, as always. Of course, we've got game night coming up next. Kings Rockets pregame following that, and then the game itself. Rami, talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Yes, you will.
Till then, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.